Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi friends, it's Lois. I thought I would just pop in for a second and let you know that if you would like to find out more about my music and my songwriting, stay tuned after the episode. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen. Today, we are chatting to a young visual artist named Erin Dyson, who is living with retinal dystrophy. And I wanted to chat to her today to find out a little bit about the impact that her sight condition has had on her life and on her work as a visual artist. Erin, welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. It's great.
Hi, Lewis.
It's so good to see you. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're really excited to have you with us. So, Erin, maybe the best place to start is just for me to say to you, tell us a little bit about who you are and tell us a bit about you.
Okay, I'm 19 years old. I'm living in South Africa, and I'm a young partially sighted artist currently trying to find my way in the world and my interests. I'm doing a gap year to, I don't know, just discover myself.
And is what you're exploring in this gap year going to determine what you'll be doing after this year?
It could be. It could definitely be possible. It's more for like my art and which direction I would want to go to in the future.
Okay, fantastic. So you were diagnosed with retinal dystrophy when you were a very, very young child. Tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about what that's like for you.
Like how it happened or like how my life is at the moment.
A little bit of both. A little bit about what caused it and then how it's impacting.
Okay. Well, we don't actually know what caused it. But my parents started to notice around about 2 or 3, and they started taking me to a whole bunch of eye clinics in Cape Town, even traveled to the UK to the Murphy Eye Clinic. And they basically didn't know what it was. They just knew it was a retinal dystrophy, but they didn't know what retinal dystrophy it was. And I have damage to my cones and rods, which basically means I struggle to see color and I'm light sensitive.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So what impact has that had on your life so far?
It's been very complicated. I've been to multiple different schools. Because they couldn't find a correct syllabus for me, and they were very happy to help in the beginning, but then like as the year went on, it wasn't accessible to me anymore. And it was very difficult being the new kid all the time and constantly being different and explaining what I can and can't see and explaining my needs and kind of just being the odd one out, like having a facilitator there or not having as many friends. I struggled a lot with like friendships because it's just been quite difficult. Because I've been to multiple different schools, so it hasn't been very stable with friendships.
I can understand that. I mean, it always, yes. I've being the new kid. And if you're now in a situation where you are trying to adjust to a changing visual acuity, and
yes,
in terms with that, plus learn different accommodations, different ways of doing things, plus constantly having to explain to people, and then to have to develop friendships on top of that.
Yes, yes.
That must have been incredibly, incredibly challenging for you.
Yeah, but I like to think of it, it's shaped me to be the person I am today. You know?
Well, that's been a very really outgoing way of looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. It's made me more outgoing and confident.
What was the outcome of that position at the schools? What eventually?
So my law school that I was currently at, I would love to tell the story, but it's very complicated and long. But I left last year around about this time. I did my art GCSE, and then they just couldn't help me anymore, and I had to leave, which was very unfortunate. And now I'm kind of figuring out the world, you know, just trying to, who's Aaron, you know?
And that's something that everyone has to go through.
Yes, yes.
Your retinal dystrophy, is it fairly stable or is it still constantly changing?
It's quite stable. There's been no loss of sight over the years. So yeah, it's been pretty good. I would say maybe my color receptors have gone down a little bit, but they couldn't be sure. And then some days I am a little bit more light sensitive than others, but that also, it's very weird. It does like depend on my mood and if I'm tired or not. Some days I can see better and some days I can see worse because of my mood. And I can actually kind of see better at nighttime because it's less bright.
Okay. Are you light sensitive?
Yes.
Okay. So what would you say? Okay, you've expressed the challenges that you experienced at school, but what about what has been for you the most difficult to adjust to?
Yes, definitely not being able to drive, and my sister's getting her driver's license now, and it's just been quite difficult because having a car, it's a lot of freedom, but I know in the future they're going to have self-driving cars, so I'm quite excited about that.
Believe me, we all are.
Yeah. And also, do kind of like normal sighted things, you would say, like go to the airport unattended or be able to look around and just know where I am. Like that's like the biggest one. And like not being able to see like little details, like kind of like missing out on a lot of things. So like, for example, like birds in the tree or like a rainbow in the sky, like, you know, but yeah, I kind of accepted it, but it's been quite difficult.
It's a journey.
Yes, it is a journey.
And there will be days that will be easier than others.
Yes.
You know,
I used to be very insecure about my eye disability, like very insecure. Like when people used to ask me like, why are you blinking? Or why do your eyes look like that? Because when I'm outside, I like blink a lot and my eyes like go squinty. Very like closed. And when they used to ask me that, or when anyone used to ask me that, I used to like freeze up and just like be so embarrassed. My face used to go red. And I just used to like, oh, I don't know, and like walk away.
I understand that, you know, as a teenager particularly, you're really aware of what others are thinking.
Yes, it used to be bad with like everybody, but children, I'm kind of like okay with it, and adults, but like people my own age, I'm still quite insecure about it because, you know, everyone wants to like fit in and you don't want to be different, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, there's that. But I think it makes me different. So I need to try and embrace it.
You know, there are also a lot of people out there who really do embrace difference.
Yes.
Looks is not something that's imposed on them.
Yes.
It's something they choose to do.
Yes.
But, you know, I one of the biggest things that I'm doing a lot in my speaking at the moment is trying to really create awareness around the concept that, sure, I do things in different ways.
Yes.
I am different. My eyes look different. I act different.
Mm.
But different is only different.
Yeah.
It's not less.
Mm. And you can make a living on being different. I recently met this person who, he's from Paris and he's one of my like friends. And he's albino. And he's kind of made a modeling job out of it. And I just find that so unique and different. And he also has problems with his eyes. And I've never met anyone my age. He's also 19. I've never met anyone my age with any sort of like eye problems similar to mine. Like, it just makes me very happy. And we were talking about it. And he's like, oh, it's very comforting. And I'm like, I know, it's so comforting. It's really nice. You don't feel alone in the world.
Yeah. It really does help to have someone that you can chat to.
Yeah.
Who will understand, and you don't have to feel weird about expressing how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So I want to shift across the conversation across to talking about you as an artist.
Yes.
So tell us about your art.
Okay.
Art.
Where do you want me to start?
I'm just curious to know a little bit more about the form of art that you're doing, how you create your art,
what
it looks like.
I usually do portraits and there's a lot of like lines and shapes in my portraits and like they're kind of imperfect, but perfect. I would say that's kind of like the brand. And focus a lot on faces because I don't know, it's just something I really like to do. And I mainly work in pencil and charcoal and pastels because I find I can control them better and get like details. With painting, I find it's quite, I feel a little bit out of control and I can't get as fine lines with like a pencil because you can make it nice and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my preferred mediums. It's more like things I can, I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I mean.
Well, okay. So let me ask a few more specific questions. Are you saying that you're using, bold colors or more muted or both?
Oh, yes. I mainly work in black and white because I do struggle with color, but I do like to add pops of color within the black and white. And I quite like how simple it is with the black and white, but I have details, like quite a few details in my art. And I feel like that kind of takes away from that.
You have a preference of color if in those little pops of color?
I really like greens and pinks and blues and yellows.
And are they by any chance easier for you to see? I'm talking from a position of complete ignorance here. So excuse me if I overstep.
No. They are kind of easier to see because I mean, it kind of depends on the shade of the colors, but they are kind of easier to see. So I struggle to see kind of darker colors, like differentiate between the darker colors.
Okay.
So like kind of if they're more contrast or like slightly like lighter, I can see them better.
The subjects of your portraits? Is it mostly people or?
Portraits, like faces. Just like very abstract faces. Because I find them, I don't know, I find them very easy to draw. Some people would disagree, but I find them very easy to draw instead of like the human figure or like hands or like hair or I don't know, whatever.
And are you creating portraits of specific people or are you drawing from your imagination?
Usually from my imagination. What I do is I got tunnel vision. So I look at the smaller picture and then I draw outwards. So I kind of draw the kind of details first, like the mouth and then the nose and the eyes. And then I draw the outline of the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it's like unique, I would say. And that's kind of how I would say my disability made my art what it is.
Okay. I was going to actually ask that as the next question, to say, you know, to what degree do you feel that the way that you're working and the art that you're creating is a result of your retinal dystrophy?
Yes. So I just basically hone in on one detail and draw out until I get the bigger picture. And with like lines and shapes. So like kind of like simple things, but it makes it like the overall picture looks complicated and detailed, I would say.
Okay, that sounds absolutely fascinating. I'd love to actually experience a three-dimensional or tactile version of some of your art to see what that would be like. Do you use tactiles?
You just reminded me. I have dabbled in that. I kind of like to blend the two mediums, so drawing and then adding pieces onto it, like stickers or clay onto my art, glitter or whatever, just so you can like kind of, so it makes it like 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And even in one of my art pieces, I put fake eyelashes on the eyes. So you have like free 3D eyelashes.
That is so awesome. That sounds absolutely amazing. When I wrote my children's books, the illustrator there created very simple, bold colors and like fairly that. Undetailed drawings, and she then enlarged them slightly and went round them with a glue gun.
Oh wow, so that's very interesting.
Gain a sense of what her images looked like. So I actually have tactile versions of all of the images from my children's books, which is really, really special that she took the time and the effort to do that.
I really like that. That's a really cool idea. I might take some inspiration.
Uh-oh. So tell us about some of your other interests. I mean, art is one very big part of your life, obviously, and very big part of your future. But tell us about some of the other things that you enjoy doing.
I absolutely adore clothing. People in my life say I have a shopping addiction. I love secondhand shopping and I love makeup as well. And I love listening to audiobooks. I love getting lost in the story, going into like a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And I like baking. And kind of just like a lot of things that other people like, you know, people who can see, I would say, you know.
Absolutely. And this is it. This is what so few people often understand, is that we do exactly what everybody else does. We do
a different way.
Yeah.
It's in our way.
You've have you I mean, your love of clothing, and particularly I'm curious about the vintage clothing and the secondhand clothing stores. What is it about the clothing? Is it the textures? Is it the feel of them? Love it.
I love I don't know, you can just do whatever and you can express yourself in your clothing and the way you wear it. And I don't know, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of magical to me. It just, it makes me very happy when I go shopping.
Awesome. And do you have favorite types of books?
Mainly fantasy and nonfiction.
Okay. Nonfiction about any particular topics or just somewhat nonfiction?
Yeah, just nonfiction. I want to be transported into a different world when I read it.
Okay, so something that takes you to a different experience or?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Ooh, some stage you and I must chat more about books.
Yes, I'm actually currently listening to Fourth Wing. It's really nice. I really like it.
Awesome. I'm glad. I've heard a lot about it. I haven't actually read it myself.
Yes, on TikTok it was crazy.
On pretty much Bookstagram and all of them, Facebook as well. It's everyone has been talking about Red Wing, the whole series.
Mm.
So going back to your art, do you share your art on social media or?
Yes.
Okay.
I have an Instagram account called The Unseen Artist.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't have very many pictures on it at the moment, but I'm planning on posting a lot more.
Excellent. That's so interesting. I used to have a photograph blog called Unseen Photography.
Ooh.
But I don't have it anymore.
Okay. That's nice. And then the pictures on my Instagram, in the description, it just says what the name of the art is. And then it says DM me for prices, because I do eventually want to sell my art and also put it onto clothing. That's kind of the goal for this year, actually.
Tell us a little bit more about that. What are you thinking of?
In terms of putting it onto clothing.
Mm.
I'm kind of putting it onto jackets and tops and having my designs on the back of t-shirts and having the name in the front or the back. And I really like patchwork. It's a whole bunch of different fabrics stitched into one.
Yeah.
And I think I could do some of the patches as my artworks and combine them together and make a really cool pair of pants or jackets or whatever.
That's fantastic. Are you good at sewing?
I can't sew.
Okay, we'll talk about that, because there are a whole bunch of different accessible techniques that are simple to accommodate. And, the most simple one that I'm going to share with you now is sewing needles that, instead of having to thread it through the eye, you just pull the thread into the eye.
Okay. And then also there's a machine or something that threads it for you, because that's the most difficult part for me, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so small.
Okay. There are some simple and very inexpensive solutions to that kind of accessibility problem.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a TikTok account that you've mentioned. I think you said was Instagram or TikTok.
Instagram.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that where people should reach out if they want to find out more about your work?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I will put the link to that Instagram account name into the show notes so people can reach out.
Okay. Wonderful.
What advice would you give to a young person going through the same experience that you did? Or possibly even, what would you have wished that you had known as a young person?
So I would say, if you kind of just got the diagnosis, don't freak out. I know it may kind of seem scary and you're alone, but you're not alone. There's other people, and new accessible things are coming out each day, and you can even have a whole house filled with accessible stuff, like a talking refrigerator if you want, or like anything, you know. And I think to tell my younger self, or to tell someone who's like struggling, don't be so insecure about it. People, if they find it weird, then that's like their problem, and you know, that's not a cool thing to do. It's not like something you can control, and I don't know, don't be so insecure about it. People are interested in different things and they just want to find out, you know.
Great, Erin, those are very wise words.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your art and some of your thoughts with us, Erin. It's been really great to have you as a guest on A Different Way of Seeing.
Thank you. It's been amazing to be here.
Hi there, it's Lois. When I speak, I often tell the story of how I first started playing music. It was about a week after I became blind, I joined a rock band. When I moved to Cape Town, I formed a band called Tuesday's Child, and we started playing our own music. Many of the lyrics were written by me, and the music was written either by me or by our guitarist, Mike. Those songs are now available on most of the music streaming services, on Spotify, on Apple Music, on YouTube Music. They're collected under an album called Songs for Someone, and the band is Tuesday's Child. If you'd like to listen to them, I'd really love to hear what you think. So give them a listen and drop me an email on lois@loisstrachan.com. You'll find the Spotify link in the show notes, and you'll also find that email address in the show notes. Thanks so much. I hope you enjoy learning about a different aspect of the work that I do.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We'd love to connect with you, so find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us, and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.